Number 82, hymn number 82, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. 82 in the Blue Hymn Book. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Number 82. Jonathan, do you mind pulling down the screen for us? Hymn number 82. Let's all stand together as we sing. And Dom, can you move up here with Messiah, please, or with Paul? I appreciate that. Thank you. 82. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All my soul praise Him, for He is my help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near.
God for this morning? What do you want to praise Him for? He brought us, He got us up this morning, brought us here to church. What are you going to give? God says, give unto Him the voice of thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving time this Thursday. Let us give unto Him the voice of thanksgiving this morning. He'll be first. What are you thankful to God for? Yes, that's it.
I thank God.
Amen.
I'm going over my sister's house to meet some of my family, but some of them, they don't care about me, so I have to pray for them because they live in different places, and they don't know that I was going in the group home and stuff, but my sister put me there, so I like it there.
Yes, pray for them, that they come to know the Lord. That's a good thing. Carol.
I praise the Lord that Roy is home from the hospital. Still has some issues. Has a couple healthcare professionals with him right now. But praise the Lord, he is home. And I just praise the Lord that he is in control, because I have a lot going on right now. But I know that the Lord will direct and enable it to be accomplished in His way and in His time. So I praise the Lord for that promise.
Amen. Let's keep praying for Brother Roy. As he is now home, we praise the Lord that he is home. And we'll keep praying. Yes, John.
I praise my Lord for himself, give me the opportunity to have salvation.
Amen.
The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. As undeserving as I am, every one of us is, He's done something that unspeakable, remarkable. We just cannot, we don't have words to describe how the vastness of His grace is.
Amen.
Of course, I thank the Lord for you know, Norfolk Baptist Church. We have church here, and in this country of the United States of America, we can speak freely. We can open up God's Word and proclaim it. You know, there's many out there trying to take it from us, but they haven't succeeded yet. They're chipping away as fast as they can, but, you know, the Lord has blessed our nation. We're thankful for our church, and once I preach the Bible, not open up some man's book and decide that's what the Word is, or take a look at it and interpret it in some obscene fashion, as many are. We look to God's Word for all truths, and that's our basis of everything.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for my family as well.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Voice of thanksgiving. Brother Dylan.
Thankful for the mercy of God.
Amen. Praise God. Let us sing that next verse, that last verse, hymn number 82.
Praise ye the Lord, who never died in the adoring. All that
forever we adore him. Aren't you glad that we're going to be able to see him in heaven for all eternity? And that's why we want to take as many of our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors and family with us, because we want them to be praising the Lord forever too, and not with the devil in misery in hell. So let us bow together in prayer as we begin this morning. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer? Pray also for the California wildfires, and also for the ones who have been affected by it, and also for Brother Roy and Sister Patty, who, praise the Lord, she did get the wound closed without a skin graft. So praise the Lord, she did not have to get additional surgery to close that wound. And so pray for her as she comes out this week or next week to go to Bacharach. They want her to go to Bacharach. That's what they're telling her now. Let us bow together in prayer.
Our Father, our God, we thank you today for the time of coming and sharing with these precious faith. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come this morning and meet like this without the fear of authorities. We thank you, Father, for rocking us all night long, Father, and waking us up this morning.
Amen.
And giving us a mind to come out to the house of worship. We pray, Father, for each and everyone that's here, whatever they're going through. We pray that you just might take care of whatever problem they have in their life, Lord, because you are a problem-solving God.
Amen.
And then, Father, we pray for those that are not here, or whatever reason they're not here, Lord, we just pray that you might be with them this morning, bless them, and help them to overcome what they're going through in their life. Pray especially for Brother Roy this morning, Lord. We just pray, thank God for this man that's been a part of our nation defense, Lord, and we just pray for men like him who stood and fought and gave us the freedom that we have today, and we pray that we'll never forget the veterans that some of them have gone on, Lord, but they stood, they gave the all for our country and for our nation. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for those that are going through problems in their personal lives. Father, we pray for Patty that you might continue to be with her and bless her and all that she's going through. We thank you for what she's already, you've already blessed us to go through, Lord, and come out victoriously in her life, Lord. Continue to be with her and guide her and keep her. In Jesus' name we pray. Pray also for Sister Gibson's relatives, Father, one of them that I believe is in the hospital, Lord. We pray for him that you might take care of what's going on there, Lord, and that your power may reign supreme even over those that are doctors, Lord. Pray that you might be with her and guide her and keep her. Father, for those that are going through the tremendous loss of loved ones in California, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you might continue to be with them, Lord, because we know the number goes higher and higher every day. And last count I heard, it was 66 confirmed dead, and now over 600 that are missing. Father, we just pray that you might be with those families that they may find their loved ones, Lord. And we pray that not only they may find them, Lord, but they may look and see what the Lord is allowing, what he's wanting us to see through these traumatic experiences. Because I don't believe anything that the Lord allows does not have a purpose in our life, Father. We just pray that you might be with them. Now, Father, bless our church members this morning. Bless Pastor. He prays the message this morning. Bless all of us. that we may not only hear the word, but we become doers of the word. Because only the doers are justified in your sight. Be with us and guide us and keep us. Continue to bless our nation, our leaders, and the Lord. Continue to bless the nation, Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, we pray for it. In his name, and all of God's people said.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn again to our hymn book, hymn number 78. 78 this morning as we continue to worship God. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all he does provide. Wonderful hymn of praise and thanksgiving. We think on Thanksgiving this week. Thanks to God for my Redeemer, thanks for all thou dost provide, thanks for times above and every, thanks for Jesus by my side, thanks for pleasant cheerful spring time, thanks for summer winter cold, thanks for tears for many. So let us sing that third verse. A lot of wonderful things to be thankful for. And so let's sing this third verse. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns that left the tears. Thanks for homes and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope that we refrain. Thanks for joy. Echo those sentiments. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great song written by some great people who love the Lord. All the hymns that we have in our hymn book, people love the Lord, had a close walk with him, and he gave them a song. So wonderful hymns in the hymn book. Let us this time go to our Bibles for our scripture reading. I'm going to ask Brother John to come and read for us Psalm 58. And Brother John, while you're back there, if you can bring the Dean Burgon Society proclamation or a commendation. I saw something back there at his desk, which I think is really, really good, and I know he was going to read it to us. So I think today would be a great day to encourage our hearts with that. Psalm 58.
Yeah, we'll start out with the most important thing, and that is reading God's Word. So we want to open up our Bibles to Psalm 58, and we'll read this responsibly. It'll be Psalm 58 and then also Proverbs chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Okay? Give everybody a few seconds. When I stop here and Bible pages move, I'll know. All right, this is not good, Pastor. You're the last one.
No,
okay. To the chief musician, Altisheth, Mictum of David, do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men?
Yea, in our heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth.
The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
Wicked is like the poison of the serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear,
which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely.
Their teeth, O God, in their mouth.
Break out the great teeth of the younger lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman that may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. And then Proverbs chapter 1. Starting at verse 21 through 25. So I'm not on the right page. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and I have been regarded.
But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. We thank God for the reading of his word. We're so grateful that we can do this on every day. Not just once a week, but we have the opportunity every day to do that. As hopefully by now everybody knows that this past summer we hosted the Dean Burgon Society's annual meeting. The society that their sole purpose is to guard the underlying text to our Bibles, and that is the Masoretic Hebrew text and the Textus Receptus for the Greek text in the New Testament. And they gave us a resolution of appreciation and commendation. You want me to read this whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. To Pastor Jeremy Rice and the members of the Northfield Baptist Church, Northfield, New Jersey, this is this 26th day of 2018, whereas Pastor Jeremy Rice and the members of the Northfield Baptist Church of Northfield, New Jersey, have provided their facilities to the Dean Burgon Society and graciously hosted our 40th annual Dean Burgon Society meeting, and whereas Pastor Jeremy Rice and the members of Northfield Baptist Church of Northfield, New Jersey, have shown Christian hospitality toward us, meeting our physical needs in comfortable surroundings, sharing with us their warm Christian fellowship. And whereas Pastor Jeremy Rice and the members of the Northfield Baptist Church of Northfield, New Jersey, have continued to maintain a growing historical record of a strong, continuing defense of the traditional Bible text, be it therefore resolved that the executive and advisory committees of the Dean Burgon Society meeting these 25th and 26th days of July 2018 hereby express our sincere appreciation to Pastor Jeremy Rice and the members of Northfield Baptist Church of Northfield, New Jersey, for being considerate and compassionate hosts, and commend them for being fellow soldiers with us in the greatest battle of our century, the defense of the traditional received text, including the authorized King James Bible. And it says, we'll be putting this in a holder, and it'll be hung somewhere on that back wall. Amen. Yeah, we don't want it up here, because we don't want to take away from the preaching of God's Word, that's first and foremost. That's why we don't have, some church have a cross on the back. That's why we don't have one. You know, we don't want people to be worshiping any object. That was a little side note I just had to throw in.
Amen. So good, a nice, considerate response from one of our sister churches, Bible for Today Baptist Church, and one of their ministries, the ministry of their church is the Dean Burgon Society, and they defend the Bible that we have today. That sadly, the churches that are changing over to the new versions, they're also wondering why the power is leaving their church too. God's power, the Holy Spirit's power, is slowly just leaving their church. Why is that? Because they've replaced the true text with a corrupted text that is it's like using a butter knife in battle. How many enemies are you going to kill with a butter knife? You know. Not too many, but we still have our two-edged sharp sword,
which is the Word of God
right here. And we're so glad it's still causing revivals today. It's been doing it for 400 years, and ever since it was translated in the English language and is still going strong today, that we believe that God can and He will continue His Word. We also want to draw attention to our Sharing the Good News of the Gospel in Your Part of the World trophy, Matthew 28:19-20. And this week at the Good News Club, we had a record-setting attendance. I think the last time we had this attendance was way back in 2011 when we first started the Good News Club, and we haven't had it since. So we had 21 kids and teens, 7th grade through kindergarten there. And we praise the Lord for those that helped us. Carol helped us 2 weeks ago, and Pat has been there each time. And then Esther joined us this week. And Pat, have you gotten the trophy as of yet? Have you gotten this? No? Okay, we're going to give it to Pat for her faithfulness. She got to lead kids to the Lord last time and this time. So let's give Pat a round of applause. And Esther and Carol, as they all got to lead children to the Lord these last two times. And we praise the Lord for each of them. And if you want to know who their names are, in the bulletin has all the names of the Good News Clubbers that have gotten saved. And I believe there was 10. There's 10 this time. And all the new kids that got saved. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to pass out our bulletins. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. I'll take one up here. Brother Paul, if you can help, and Brother Jonathan, and our ushers can pass out the bulletins. We'd appreciate that. We do need ushers. We need ushers so we need you to join. Whether if you're a man or a teen guy or a young guy, we'd love to have you join so you can be an usher of our church, because we definitely need your help in this ministry. I'll take one up here, if you don't mind. Okay, it says on the bulletin, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Psalm 107, verse 1. And it's good to be together today. It's good to have some return visitors with us. We're always thankful for return visitors, because that means they liked it the first time and they're back. It's good to have Liesl with us. And Liesl, what's your last name?
Minor.
Minor, okay. Liesl Minor with us today. Again, and we're glad that she is back with us, and glad for all those on that in Atlantic City there. And it's good to have Eunice back with us, and continue to pray for Eunice to get her job back as she's working on that. And pray for God's provision there. Pray also for Tricia and Evan. They are down in North Carolina with Eric, and Ethan will be coming to them with his girl, his lady friend. They'll be coming later in the week to them as well. Then also pray for, we praise the Lord, John is getting better. That we praise the Lord, he is back out. He was back out Wednesday night and back out again today. And any updates, John, on your health?
No, it's all good so far.
Amen.
Praise
Amen. Lord.
I feel great.
Praise God. God answers prayer. And he doesn't. Aren't you glad God doesn't allow us all to get sick at the same time? You know, that's a blessing. And glad John is stronger now. Pray for Justine. I talked to her on the phone the other day. She said her stomach is feeling a bit better. So keep praying for her as she battles that that she has. Then on the inside page of the bulletin, let's say our November memory verse, reference, verse, then reference. It's right on the left-hand page near the bottom of the bulletin. Let's say it together. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Colossians 3:15. Let's say it again. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Colossians 3:15. Wonderful verse to put into our memory banks and into our hearts, that we can recite that one in next week, as is the last Sunday of the month next week. Then on the right-hand page, we want to decide if we want to have the Christmas program on Sunday. The dinner would be the week before the Christmas program. So our dinner, we can either have it on December 9th or December 16th. And then the Christmas program itself, our drama and our choir special, is going to be then on December 16th or December 23rd. Okay, so we want to get as many people involved as possible in making this decision. So who is leaning? We have to be here at church December 23rd anyway. So I was wondering, what do you think about the drama on 2 days before Christmas? And then instead of Sunday night service, that night we would have it then Monday night to have a Christmas Eve service. Okay? So how many would like the program for December 23rd? The drama, the choir number, so it's that way we get it right before Christmas. I think that's when we'll have the most visitors anyway, and give them a reason to come out for Christmas. Okay? How many would rather have it the 16th? Okay? How many, it doesn't matter either way? Okay? Now, if somebody's not going to be here that's in the program, that's important. Are you not going to be here, Zamora? Your whole family? Her and Zion, okay. Oh, we will.
The ninth. They will be there for the later date.
They will be there for the 23rd, right? 23rd you'll be here. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Okay, so they won't be here the 9th. Okay, so then that way they can be back for the Christmas dinner. Okay, so all right, then we'll do it. That's what the church decided. 23rd will be the program. The 16th will be the Christmas dinner. Okay, so let's put that all on our calendars and in our memory banks. And we want to make the Christmas dinner a nice dinner on the 16th, like Thanksgiving was. So I believe Sister Carol and Brother John will work together on the sign-up list for that and what we need to bring for Christmas for the dinner. All right, and we look forward to these things. And then just by way of other announcements, tonight at 7 p.m. we have a special treat. We're looking at the first part of Revelation 20. It's only about 5 or 6 verses, but it deals with the millennial kingdom of Christ. We have a special treat tonight, the millennial kingdom of Christ. So come on back tonight as we look at what's going to happen during the millennial kingdom, what Christ is going to do, how it's going to look, where we will be, and there's a lot of wonderful things that the Bible says about the millennial kingdom, and we'll be in it. So let's look forward to that and learn about it now rather than having to, you know, catch up in heaven. You know, don't catch up in heaven for something that we can learn here on earth in the Bible. So come on back tonight at 7 p.m. Then we're also showing another video of persecution around the world to help us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world who are facing persecution. Then next Sunday we have a baptism and membership Sunday, so we are looking forward to it. We have at least some getting baptized and some joining, so please let me know if you want to be involved in that as well. Let me know so we can get everyone all on board. We have in the morning service we'll have baptism, and then on Sunday night we have another person that wants to get baptized as well, and they can't make it to Sunday morning, so we look forward to a whole day of baptisms. Then in 2 weeks, on December 2nd, we have missionary Jonathan Bucher going to the country of Israel. He will be presenting to us in 2 weeks on December 2nd, both in the Sunday school morning and evening service. So come and listen to this young man's testimony and how God is calling him to the mission field of Israel to preach the gospel to the Jews. And my sister went to college with him at Ambassador Baptist College back in 2009 to 2013. So she knew of him, and I knew his brother Jeremy Bucher way back in 2001. He and I traveled Neighborhood Bible Time together. So it's a blessing to know this family. Then pray for the Good News Club. We don't have Good News Club this week. We will have it next Thursday. Then, just by way of other announcements, I encourage you. I've been listening to the FBN radio app on my smartphone, and it has been a great blessing this week. There's all kinds of There's one called Revival Time. It's only about a 10-15 minute little segment, and it's just a great encouragement in the morning. You know, after I read my Bible, I listen to Pastor Treiber, and just a great encouragement on the way in the home. So I encourage you, if, use this app on your phone, and that way you can get good Christian radio all the time whenever you're at home. Get a little speaker and put it in your kitchen or put it in your bathroom or just put the speakerphone on your cell phone as you tune in, and it is just a great blessing. So download that FBN radio app, and then if you want a good music app, abidingradio.com has 6 different channels of good quality Christian music. They have a kids channel, they have just an instrumental channel if you don't want words. They have a vocal channel. They have all these different channels of great Christian music that is God-honoring, glorifying. So check out these 2 apps this week. I'd encourage you. It'll be a great help to you. Just by way of other announcements, I think that's it. Is there any other announcements that you might have, Carol?
If at all possible, I need a bus driver.
Okay.
For the return route today, if possible.
Okay. All right, if anyone can help drive home the Atlantic City route, please let Carol know as soon as possible. That would be greatly appreciated. Then at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this morning. God says that, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." That God's storehouse is the local church, and God says that as we give to Him, He will give back to us and more of our tithes and offerings. Let us bow together in prayer.
Our Father God, Lord, we thank You once again for the open doors of this church, and we thank You for the many blessings that we have here in this ministry and as a result of it. We just thank You for the increased size of the footprint that we've been able to lay down in the community here. We thank You so much for the bus ministries that You've been able to ordain here.
Amen.
While the bus was a technical loss because of state regulations, we just thank You, Lord, that we still have the vans and that they are still up and going. We just
Amen.
Pray that You would continue to add Your blessing to each and everything that's going on here.
Amen.
We know, Lord, sometimes we should bring our cares and our concerns before You because this might be a springboard for another avenue of blessing. Lord, in the last couple of weeks, we have seen some earth-shattering checks go out from this work to pay bills for this increased footprint that we have. We just ask, Lord, that You would continue to give us the assurance that Your economy is in force and working as it should. We just
Amen.
Pray that You would give our giving us a special touch from Yourself that the work here might be able to be double blessed and continue just as strongly as it has. We just pray that You would continue to encourage us to go that extra mile for You, that we might be able to seize upon any opportunities which come our way, that we might be able to capitalize on those to advance this work. We just pray that You would continue to guide and direct us as we would seek to reach out even farther through this ministry. And we just thank You for each and everything that You've given to us and each and everything that You've done for us and each and every opportunity that You have lubricated for us so that we can simply slide right into it. And we just pray that You would continue to do this as we would seek Your face this morning in the manner of our giving. For it's in Christ's name we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. turn back to our hymn book, to our hymn number 449. 449, We Thank Thee, Lord. Hymn number 449.
Majesty.
In the Majesty. I'm sorry, yeah. Hymn number 449 in the red hymn book, the maroon hymn book there. Majesty hymn book. We thank Thee, Lord, for the morning light. This is a nice song that's pretty recent. 449. Kids choir. Dismissed for youth church at this time, and actually today we have, it's on family worship. Believing families are responsible to worship and to study God's word regularly, so it's all about worshiping God. Let's turn our Bibles. As we look at this, let us first go to Psalms 26. Psalms 26 this morning. One of the things we are, the church attendance, particularly in Sunday school, Sunday evening and midweek services, is on the decline in our nation. Families with children, especially young children, must commit themselves regularly to attend church services. Without this commitment, sickness and difficulty will get in getting their little ones ready for the services will deter families from their intended goal. Likewise, older adults must not allow slight fluctuations in health to keep them from corporate worship. Underlying this neglect of public worship and Bible study is a failure on the part of the individual believers to spend time in God's Word on a daily basis. So here's what we're going to encourage you in this morning is we see the problems in our society. Now we're going to connect the dots to help us to have family worship, and most importantly, our walk with God. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 26. Let's all stand for prayer. I forgot to have you stand for the last song, so I think it'd be good for us to stand for prayer before we look into God's Word, into Psalm 26. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word this morning. We pray that You would quiet our hearts, that You would help us to diligently seek You in this matter of public worship. We pray that You would help us to draw closer to You this morning, to obey the truths from Your Word. We pray that You would not let the devil or his demons hinder this service, but that You'd place a hedge of protection on this great church that You have brought here in Northfield. We pray that You would anoint us with Your blessing this morning, that You would fill each one of us with Your Holy Spirit, and that if there's anything in the way of us being filled with Your Spirit, that You would point it out to us this morning so that we can have Your cleansing in our lives. We pray You'd bless now this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 26, and starting in verse starting in verse 1, this whole psalm talks about the congregation of the Lord, the house of the Lord, and why we should be here. Okay, let us look at it. Let's read it responsively. I'll read verse 1 and you read verse 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. For Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in Thy truth. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all Thy wondrous works. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Amen. May God bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. We see here, notice the psalmist did not want to go with the dissemblers. What is a dissembler? Does anybody know what a dissembler is? It's what it sounds like. Okay, John? Okay, pretender. Okay, good. Very good. Disassembler. It sounds like what it is. A dissembler is someone who disassembles people. You know, how many people, unfortunately, in the world who are dissemblers instead of bring togetherers and or bring together people around the truth of God's word. You know, there's a lot of people calling for unity today. But let me tell you, there cannot be true unity unless it's centered around truth. Okay? People are calling for unity with error. Yo, if you don't like what we're saying, you're not unified with us and you're dividing the country. Well, let's listen to what they're saying. They're saying, no, you have to unite around our falsehoods and our sinful things that we are promoting. And if you are not with our sinful things that we are promoting, you are a divider and a dissembler. No, so here we see there cannot be true unity in sin. Okay? Sin is not a unifier. Okay? Sin is only a destroyer. Okay, so when people say, oh, you can't say anything about people who are living a homosexual lifestyle, or you can't say anything about somebody who's confused and they want to change their gender, oh, you can't tell them that that's wrong. Well, guess what? That person is lying, number one, because they're getting it from the chief of lies. Chief of lies, the devil, who's a liar and a murderer from the beginning, is saying, oh, let everyone do what they want and don't say anything about it. Well, guess what? When Jesus comes back, we're going to look at the millennial kingdom tonight. Guess what? There won't be any homosexuality and lesbianism during the Lord's reign in the millennial kingdom. It won't be allowed, okay? When Jesus rules righteously from Jerusalem, guess what? There won't be any of that. Why? Because there will be laws against it. Jesus' just laws, the Word of God, will be the law of the land. Can you imagine that? The law of the land being the Bible? You know, all people have to do is look in the Bible for what the laws of the land are. Well, that's wonderful. It's going to be 1,000 years of Christ reigning from Jerusalem in perfect laws. However, you know what? And Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, but you know what's going to still happen? People are still going to, you know, have children, and their children are going to reject God, and there are some that are still going to reject God, and there are some that are still going to rebel, and even with the righteous rule, but you know what? No one will be able to say, well, it was all the devil's fault. He's the one who made me rebel against Jesus, the King of Kings, the friend in Jerusalem. Nope, they can't blame the devil during the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. He's going to be bound. He's going to be bound. So who is to blame when sin happens in the millennium? It's going to show people that it's the human heart. As Jeremiah 51 verse 3 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? So we see our problem today that we're dealing with is not people who are dividing the country. No, our problem is we're letting people who stand for sin set the agenda. We cannot listen to people who are standing for sin setting the agenda. Okay, we need to let God's word set the agenda. Okay, and we know it's unpopular today's day and age to hold up a Bible and preach. But guess what? It's still the right thing to do. It's still the right thing to do to believe what the Bible says. It may not be in fashion in politics, may not be in fashion around the world, but you know what? Stay with the Bible. Stay on the Bible and keep reading and obeying it, and guess what? You will always be on the right side of every issue. Why? Because God's Word is the truth. And so we see here that David did not want to go with the dissemblers, the ones who were trying to use sin and gossip and divide people and go with people who were living in sin. He didn't want to go to the bar to make friends. No, because when people get drunk, they say things they shouldn't. They curse. You know, drinking and cursing and profanity go together. Drinking and loose morals go together. Lust, pornography, speaking bad about women, men, women speaking bad about men. It goes together with the drink, with the alcohol, okay? So here David said, I'm not going to go with the dissemblers, the one who love to sin and who are, you know, getting together around a common sinful bond. He says, I want to go where there's righteous people. I want to go to thine altar, O God. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. What a great thing. Hear David say, I want to go to God's house. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. David said, Lord, I want to meet friends and make friends for eternity in church. God, that's where I want to be. In the Old Testament, it was at the temple. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here we see, where do we want to meet people who we can develop close friendships with? In church. And we need to keep it around good things. Keep it around God's Word. And sure enough, we will have a blessed time. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. Okay, so here we see God wants us to make the local church attendance our priority. Hebrews 10, 25, let's go over there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Verse 24, Hebrews 10 and verse 24, he wants us to make church attendance a priority. Hebrews 10 and verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Okay, once again, same thing that David said in the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews is saying in the New Testament, he's saying, hey, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Where can we find that? Where everyone is loving one another and trying to love as they should, and they're working for God and they're doing good works. Hey, they're trying to reach out to their community, getting kids saved and getting adults saved and trying to help those who need help and trying to just do the right thing. Where do we find that? Well, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Here we see Jesus places a very high emphasis on the local church. It is the largest emphasis of any place where we should go. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I have given my life for the church. I have shed my blood for the church. I want to present the church pure and spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish. So if Jesus is placing such a high priority on his local church body, how should we do any less? If we want to be a good Christian that's growing, that's trying to be consistent, that's going onward and upward, closer to God each day that we live, then we need to do what Jesus says to do. And that is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I have never met a Christian who said, you know, I'm going to, Pastor, you know, I'm going to just come to church once a week, and I'll be a healthy Christian. You'll see. You know, just wait. I'll just come once a week. They come once a week. But you know what? Years go by, and they're not getting victory over their sinful problems. There's things in their life. Some just go out of church altogether. You know, that we need to come to church more and more each day that we live. That's why we go over to Atlantic Adult Day Center. We go over there every Wednesday. It gives all of our church members that are over there another opportunity to worship the Lord together in a local church setting. That is an extension of our local church. So that's where we meet together, and each week we have another service over there. So they're getting Sunday school morning service, then they're getting their Wednesday service over there. And the more we fellowship with God's people worshiping God, the more consistent we'll be. You say, how is that? Why is that? Well, the reason is because there's more time involved. There's more time. Regular family worship, regular worship in the church is important if we want to be more like Christ. You know, this world tells people, what is the devil's message for Christians? Okay, the devil already knows he's got unsaved people. So what's he trying to tell Christians? He's already got the unsaved people blinded to the gospel, and he's trying to keep them blinded. Praise God, we had more saved this week out of the Good News Club. Kids who got unblinded, okay? And last week we had some made professions of faith out in the community. So the Lord is working. He already has the unsaved people. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to keep Christians from their place of power. He's trying to keep Christians from their place where they will start changing to be more like Christ. And he said, so how does he do that? How does he keep us from changing to be more like Christ? How does he keep us from being consistent? Where every day we can wake up and say, hey, by the grace of God, I'm not perfect, but I want to be consistent today. I want to get closer to the Lord than I was yesterday. And by God's grace, I'm getting victory over my sinful habits and patterns. How do we get that consistency? We get it by coming to church more than just once a week. Okay, the devil says, oh, just put in as little as possible. Because remember, you have grocery shopping, you've got school, or you've got work, or you've got this, or you've got errands, and you've got that, and you've got the other thing. And remember, you have to have your own time, you know, your own time to veg, and your own time to do this. So the devil is constantly reminding us how selfish we should be, right? Well, notice, we do all that. And how do we feel afterward? Do we feel any better? No, we feel worse. Why? Because it's a mishandling of time. When we spend time on ourselves and just ourselves and just our needs and just our things that we have to do, work or school and other things, we still feel something is missing. The reason is because we didn't give God enough time in worshiping Him. We didn't give Him enough time. You say, well, I went to church Sunday morning. How much should we give? Let's ask the question. How much should we give for the God who gave us everything? How much is He worth to you? How much is He worth? That is the question that we all must evaluate and answer this morning. How much is He worth to you? How much is your salvation worth? How much is your life and your eternal soul and eternal spirit worth? And your body that He gave you on loan, is it worth just a little bit of time? Or is He worth more of your time? Is He worth more? You say, well, I'm going to rework my schedule and I'm going to work harder on not doing things that are not productive or less productive or not productive at all so I can put more time into God's house. See, that's where we need to realize that's where Jesus places the priority. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, a wonderful epistle on the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything. Paul brings that out very clearly in Colossians. He is everything, and He should be everything to us. He should be our life, our breath. He should be our every thought of our day. As we go through the day, He should be on our thoughts. He should be in our prayers. He should be who we are drawing our strength from because we are complete in Jesus Christ. For Colossians 1, in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the power of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, that visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Is Jesus preeminent in your life right now? Is He the first thing in your life right now? Is He the first person in your life? Is He your goal? Is He your end? Is He your hope of eternal life? Or is Jesus something less this morning? Here we see He should be preeminent in every part. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 as well. Another epistle that kind of tells us how we should line up our priorities. Ephesians okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. And we see the mystery of Christ. Who is the what is the mystery of Christ? Verse 8. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ with the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this gift given: preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What is the mystery that it was hid from the Old Testament prophets, that they desired to look into, but they couldn't see? All they could see was the cross. They could see the suffering of the Lord and the cross, but then they saw the future millennial kingdom, but they couldn't see what was after the cross. It was like a valley to them. What is that mystery? Mystery is the bride of Jesus Christ, the local church body. Here we see that Gentiles and Jews would learn the unsearchable riches of Christ together, that they would learn it for over 2,000 years, a time period which Christ still has not come back yet, that we are still in this mystery church age. The mystery to the Old Testament, it's not a mystery anymore because we're now living in it. The local church age, the age of grace. And so what are we doing with our grace? You know, the Old Testament Israelites, they had accountability every day. You know, God would tell Moses what to do and what to say and where to go, and they had more accountability. We have accountability, but it's a different kind of accountability. We are accountable to our local church, to our local church body, and to a pastor who cares for your soul, who wants to guard and guide and shepherd your soul with the leadership of Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, always being the one over the church. The pastor is just the under-shepherd. The pastor is the one who helps lead and guide and protect and to follow the words of God. It says in Hebrews, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, or 13, Hebrews chapter 13. What happens when we neglect the local church. What happens? Well, there's a father, a son, and his grandson, a story, lessons in the Bible, King Uzziah in the Old Testament. He worshipped the Lord, at least somewhat, and he wanted to obey the Lord, but then later on in his Christian life, in his believing life, he kind of started neglecting, and then he then apostatized. And he said, you know what, I'm going to offer something on the altar. And he tried to intrude into the priest's office and tried to offer a sacrifice on the brazen altar. And as a result, God had to plague him with leprosy. And he had to be put aside. His son saw what happened to his father, and he said, since my dad was hurt in church, so to speak, I'm not going to go to the temple anymore. So he just decided to leave off his temple worship of God. Guess what happened to the grandson? Jotham, the son, did not do anything really for God, and as a result, he kind of was a miserable king, a king that didn't really do much. Well, guess what? His grandson, who saw his grandfather and his father, his grandson Ahaz, not only did not go to the temple, but he became an enthusiastic Baal worshiper who actually closed the temple. You say, it doesn't really matter what I do in my family, does it? I can pick and choose what I do for God. I can pick and choose how I place my priorities on the local church. Well, guess what? People are watching, and it does matter. It does matter. That I guarantee every one of us would never want our grandchildren to be Baal worshipers or to worship the world. Oh, they're out in the world and they're worshiping everything in it but God, and they're just living for themselves. Unfortunately, that's a sad commentary on many, many Christian families who neglected the importance of the local church. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Okay, every good pastor worth his salt is going to follow God, follow Jesus Christ to the end of their life. Guess what? If they're starting to not follow Christ, it's time to not follow them and to go somewhere else. If they're starting to de-emphasize Christ in the church or de-emphasize Christ in daily living, it's time to follow someone else. Why? Because they're changing and they're compromising and they're giving excuses for sin and for this and for that and the other thing. Sadly, we see many of those pastors today. I was just watching some things last night as I was doing some study and research on false teaching. And every time Joel Osteen is asked on TV over the last 10, 15 years, every time he's asked, well, tell me, preacher, do you believe that all those without Christ, that they're not going to go to heaven or not? Well, here's what he says. I believe that, that Jesus is the way to heaven, but you know what? There's so many sincere people out there, and it's not for me to judge. You know, I know Jewish people, and I know Muslims, and I just think that, and he just rambles on and on how it's not for him to judge, and how he chooses a different way to do his ministry. How he cares for people and how he's doing it. And what he's doing is he's excusing the Word of God. He's trying to make excuses for why he is a compromiser. And it's interesting. Every interviewer said, so wait, let me get this right. So you're saying there's not just one way? How come all the other pastors that I've interviewed, they've all said one way is Jesus? And so you're not saying that, are you? He says, well, I'm not one to... And he just goes again, stammering on. That's what you call a false teacher. Okay? And mark it down, plain and simple. If someone denies that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they are a Bible denier, and that is not the Christ of the Bible they are following. It's another Jesus. And sure enough, Joel Osteen's following another Jesus, the Jesus of psychology, the Jesus of, say it with me, today I will have victory, today I will have, and he repeats I am's, okay? What is I am's? It's not I am Jesus, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life, Jesus. No, it's I am this, I am that, I am this. It's a self-help, prosperity gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what is a fearful thing for those preachers that are doing that? Oh, you send me your seed faith check, and you send me your seed, and God's going to just bless you. And oh, I feel it right now. Oh, I sense someone is saying this. You know, they use all kinds of shenanigans. You know what? The Lord doesn't use shenanigans. That is manipulation. It's heresy. And most importantly, they are not preaching the Jesus of the Bible. They're preaching another Jesus, which is a false doctrine. Okay, it's heresy. Okay, and you say, well, Pastor, how can you say it? You can look it up. I'm not the only one saying this. All across the internet, discerning Bible students are seeing these guys saying this, and they're saying, wow, that is wrong. We may show a clip of the video tonight. But there's just so much false doctrine all over the place. Well, these are not true shepherds. These are false shepherds. These are shepherds who are in it for the money. When they follow the money trail of all these people, you know, Joel Osteen has a 35,000 square foot mansion, six bathrooms in his house, you know. It boggles the mind how much some of these TV preachers have. And what are they really after? Benny Hinn's nephew came out and he said, you know, I grew up in this and I followed my dad, and my dad said, you know, oh, it's, they just don't have enough faith if they're not getting healed. The Bible says this. Uncle Benny, you know, the Bible says, oh, it's because they don't have enough faith. And then they'd excuse so many portions of the Bible, and he did his own study, this nephew of Benny Hinn. He said, you know what? It's against the Word of God. It's against the Bible. This is false teaching. It's a prosperity gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When did Jesus ever say that we will not face suffering in this life? Jesus said, Peter said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You will never hear Joel Osteen say that. Why? It doesn't fit with his gospel. Okay? You will never hear Oprah Winfrey say that. Why? It does not fit with her gospel. You will never hear Benny Hinn say that. You will never hear Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, all these other people on TV. Why? It's a false gospel. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. There is the Christian life is a life of denial. It's a life of, it's not all about me, it's about Jesus. Because I'm working for Him and not for myself. Okay, that when we make life about us, guess what? It doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. We're actually feeding the flesh and giving into the devil when we make life about ourselves. And our life is depressing. But when we put Jesus on the throne and say, Lord, I'm going to do your will, God. You say to come to church, that they met daily in the Acts chapter 2, that they met daily. Wow. Lord, it's not too much for me to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They met daily in the New Testament church there in Jerusalem. They assembled together daily. It's not too much for me to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's not too much for me to miss the football game or to miss this or miss that, because that stuff is not going to be eternal. The local church and what we've done in it is going to be eternal. Jesus said, I'm going to present my bride, the local church, all the members. You say, oh, membership's not important. Wrong. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 that they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And then they added their names to the rolls. Those who were saved, baptized, they were added to the church. Here, local church membership is taught in the book of Acts, and it's taught all through the New Testament. Every book, every epistle in the New Testament talks about individual members of individual local churches. And they all list them by name. When Paul writes his epistle to Rome, the Roman churches there in Rome, he lists out all the church members of the ones there in the churches at Rome. Then when he talks about the Colossian church, he says, and let's go over there, Colossians chapter 1. How does he start his epistles? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 to see how Paul starts his epistles. How Peter starts his epistles. How James and the others. Is it just an impersonal greeting? Or is there a church greeting? Okay, let's go over Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. To who? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Did it matter to the Colossian church members who was members and who weren't? Absolutely. It meant whether this was going to be written to you or not written to you. Well, I'm just a faithful attender of the Colossian church. Well, then it wasn't written to you. Notice who it was written to. Written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Here we see that they knew who were members and who weren't. Just go to the end of each epistle and you'll see him point out a lot of the members of each of the local New Testament churches of each of these books. Romans is the largest one. Romans 16 outlines some 30-some names of church members there and the churches there at Rome. Here we see in the different ones that it's important. Who are the members of the church? Why? Because they are the ones to carry it out. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So here he's calling out the church there at Philippi, all the church members, and the bishops and deacons. Who are the bishops? That's the pastor. Another word for pastor. Bishop means overseer. Okay, so he's saying, and the pastors and deacons, and all the church members there at Philippi. Wow, it makes a big difference, okay? Who is trying to tell us not to join or not to commit to Christ's local church? It's not Christ, it's not God, and it's not the Holy Spirit. So that should be enough to tell us we're listening to the wrong side. Christ says that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why would we not want to be a part of the church that Christ is building? Why would we not? See, don't be afraid of commitment. Why? Commitment is a beautiful thing. I remember when I joined the church when I was a teenager, you know, I got baptized and then I joined the church shortly after we came here to Northfield in 1994. And when I joined, I said, oh, wow, what a relief. I can now take communion. I can now, serve in some decent capacity in the church, you know, instead of just a helping role. I could do something important. I could be an usher. I could take the offering. I could represent the church in this way and in that way and the other way. And I could clean the church. And I could do I could be a teacher now in junior church. All kinds of doors opened for me when I joined. And you know what? As a teenager, I was excited about it. Why? Because I could feel the blessings of Christ upon me. But not only, it's not about feelings. Feelings will come and go. But I knew the blessings of Christ upon me as well. I knew that I had done what Jesus said to do to be added to my local church. And you know what? I've never regretted it once. But let me tell you, on the other side of that coin, I can tell you how many Christians who are now in eternity have regretted not joining a good local church that they were going to. I can tell you how many have slipped through the cracks. Christians who were tenders who said, you know, well, I'll join someday. And then life gets in the way, and then health problems come, and then this happens and that happens. And they never get around to joining. And now that when as they stand before Christ at the judgment seat, He say, why didn't you join my faithful local New Testament church that I had right there in front of you? Well, I was afraid that someone would come visit me. Well, I was afraid I'd get a phone call. And it just doesn't hold water when we're standing in front of Jesus. He said, that's what they're there for. That's what we're there for. We're to help each other. That is your local church body. That is your local church family. And so, let me tell you, I've never regretted it once since I've joined there. Never. I've been thankful for it on too numerous occasions to even mention. I've been so thankful for it, even when I've been in sin. You know what? That's probably the greatest times I'm thankful for the local church. You know why? Because it reminds me of my responsibility to God, and it helps me get back close to Christ again. You know, when I'm in sin, someone will come alongside me, and they won't even know what's going on. Hey, brother, how you doing? Not so good. Hey, how are you? Oh, that would be great, you know. And you know, if I want to tell him, I can tell him. If I don't want to tell him, I don't have to tell him. But it's just that somebody actually cares who's a brother or sister in the Lord. See, the local church is there. We are to uphold one another and strengthen each other in fellowship. And so we see that we need to worship God as a local church body. Why? What are the benefits of being a member of the local church? Was number one, we get to pray together. Okay? You pray together in the local church. You say, well, I can do that as a non-member. You can pray together with other members and non-members as well, but you'll really get that support once you become a member of the church in more prayer and in more other ways. You'll get comfort from the local church. Comfort. The other church members will have your back in thick and thin, and because you're coming regularly, it is a blessing to have. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, James 5:16, the sick. Then we have service. We can serve God together. Galatians 5:13. Bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in Galatians 5:13 it says, let's turn over there in closing. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here we see we can serve God without any restrictions when we become a member of the local church. Before you become a member, there's got to be restrictions. Why? Because Christ has standards for His local churches. You know, some people say, well, I want to become a member, but they don't let me yet. Well, let's see. Why won't a local church let somebody become a member? Are you coming to church? No. Is your life, you know, somewhat reflecting Christ? No. Do you have any concern at all for the Lord? No. And you want to become a member of the church? Why? You know? So when someone tells you they can't become a member of the church, just go through those three reasons and no, no, and no. Okay? Any legitimate person who wants to grow in the Lord is accepted here at Northfield Baptist Church. Let me tell you that. 100% across the board. 100%. That any legitimate person who's wanting to grow in the Lord and wanting to follow God, and seeking to try to read the Word of God and pray, seeking to go to church as often as they can, you know what? They're the ones we want. Are we looking for perfect people? No. Oh, well, I'm not perfect. I don't measure up to so-and-so member of the church. Well, guess what? We're not looking for so-and-so members of the church. We're looking for people who are just wanting to grow in the Lord, wanting to have Christ be first place in their heart, in their life. And they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. If you can find a perfect member in this church, We'll have to vote them out immediately because they'll make the rest of us look bad. No, I'm just kidding. There is no perfect person in this church. No perfect member. Why? We won't be perfect until we get to heaven. Okay? We all need to leave the church so that person can stay in the church because we're going to spoil it for them if they're perfect. Okay? There are no perfect members here, but we are just desiring for the Lord to come closer in our life. So it's important that we serve one another. It's important that we admonish one another. This is a great benefit. It's not a detriment. This is a benefit. Romans 15:14 talks about this. It's not a detriment at all. You know, if someone sees something in my life when I was a younger Christian, when I was a teenager, someone, you know, pointed out things. Hey, Jeremy, you know, you're doing this, but it doesn't reflect the Lord very well in your life. You know, you should do this instead. Wow, somebody actually cares about me. Someone showed interest in me. Wow, someone cares how I live my life. Thank you, God, for that. That's what we need. We need people who actually care about us. And you'll find that in the local church. You'll find people that actually care about how you're doing spiritually. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Wow, what a blessing it was for me as a younger Christian to get admonished from time to time. I got admonished from my Sunday school teacher, which at that time happened to be Mr. Hodge. I got admonished from my dad, which happened to be my pastor. I got to be admonished from people and taken under their wing and said, hey, this is a better way to live. You know, I found that this worked for me better in my Christian life because this is what the Bible says. And you know what? I ate that up. I ate that up when people loved on me and admonished me and cared about me. And so that's what the local church is there for. It's so that we can have that, at times, that help to grow that next step. Left to ourselves, we're pretty stubborn, aren't we? We're pretty prideful. You know, we think we do everything right. Don't tell me what to do, because I do everything right. You know, and when someone comes along and says, hey, in humility, they say, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, I noticed this. Can you do this instead? You know, that's someone caring for our soul. That's someone saying, hey, you're not all that and a piece of cake. You are a child of God. Hey, let me give you some extra help. You know, and what it does is it helps us to stay humble. And it helps us to love one another. And so we should love when people want to care about us. 1 Corinthians 12:25, you see the care from the local church. We need care. 1 Corinthians 12:25 talks about the care that we receive from the local church. The people caring about us, getting a phone call. Well, you know, I guarantee you, if you're a member of this church, you will get more phone calls. Why? Because you are already showing that you are committed, and so people will then depend on you. It's good. It's a good thing to be depended on. It's a good thing to say, "Hey, you know, I'm part of this group too. Boom, put me in, count me in." That's a great thing. People will then show you you've already showed you can be counted on, and people will count on you, and you'll get a greater responsibility. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Here, that's what 1 Corinthians 12:25 teaches. And then lastly, greeting. 1 Corinthians 16:20, when you become a member of the church, you are greeted. You are you become that part. 1 Corinthians 16:20 says, "All the brethren greet you." That you are missed. You're cared for. There's a next level of just attention that you will get by the other members. Why? Because they know that you can count on them, and they know they can count on you, and they know that you're part of the group. Okay, it's saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm gonna do His will. Don't let the devil give you 101 reasons of doubts why you shouldn't follow Christ. Follow the Father. Follow the Holy Spirit, and do what He says, and you will be blessed. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I've trusted Jesus Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. But I would like to do that. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, right there where you see. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not. You say, I'm already saved, Pastor. I've already been saved, but I haven't yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And I want to do that. I want to get that settled. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, there where you see. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I haven't been baptized yet, but I'd like to do that. I'd like to go under the waters of baptism to identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for me. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm already saved. I'm already baptized. And I realize the only thing keeping me from joining this church is myself. And I don't want to have that happen anymore. I don't want to keep myself from that. I see a group of loving Christians here that would love to have me on board. And I want to follow God. I want to follow Christ in His emphasis on His local church bride. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Is there any others? You say, Pastor, I want to join this church. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. God bless each one of you. And I encourage you, seek me out after the service or seek one of the deacons out so we can put it on the calendar for you to join this local New Testament church. We would love to have you. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of being reminded of these important truths of worshiping God in our life. That You, O God, are our great Father. You have given us all things. Most importantly, You've given us Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, that we have salvation through His shed blood. And we thank You that You've given us this local church. Lord, what a gift it is to have a group of people that care about how we live our lives spiritually and how we're doing physically and how we're doing emotionally and mentally and the problems that we are having that they can help us with. Lord, we thank You. I thank You that You put this church in my life many years ago, when I was a young man, to help form me and mold me into someone who could be more useful for You. Lord, help each one of us to desire that in our lives, that we would be more useful, that we can do something more for You, that when we get to heaven very soon, that we'll be rejoicing because we have committed to Your local church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service. Hymn number 611. And if you need to come for any reason, baptism, church membership, or maybe you just want to kneel at the altar, would you come and do business with God this morning? God wants us to do business with Him. The King of Kings of the universe just waits for us to do business with Him. Let us stand together and sing this song, 611. Would you come as we sing this song?
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Amen. If you raised your hand, you want to join the church, would you make it public and come on down and take me by the hand. Second verse.
Take my hands and let them move.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Would you like to join? Wonderful. Praise God. Eric, we look forward to it. Amen. Praise God. Darlene, would you like to join the church? Praise God. Praise God. That's wonderful. So what we'll do is if you have a few minutes right after the service, the deacons and I can meet with you, and that way we can get a date on the calendar. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right. So we'll meet you right after the service, okay?
Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips. Amen. Would you like to join?
I would.
Are you waiting for Kenny?
I would.
Okay.
I don't know what to do, so.
Yeah.
I gotta do what I gotta do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good decision. And he'll come along, you know. He'll follow. It'll at least get him out a little more, I think. So, but here's one thing that I've always seen is.
Happy to have them come aboard, and we just pray, Lord, that you would give them exactly what they need here through this work, that they can do the job that you need done. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for the many, many blessings that you have given us. And we just thank you also for the ability to realize these blessings and to capitalize on them for you in your work. And we just ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct us as we would seek to go forward through this work for you. And we just ask that you would guide and direct in all things. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.